والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين. والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين، سيدنا مولانا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا ونور أبصارنا وبصائرنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، والصلاة والسلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين. وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المحسنين المخلصين المتقين، ولا سيما الخلفاء الراشدون والأئمة المهديون أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي. وارض اللهم عن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So yesterday we talked about some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wahid wal-Ahad. We talked about the difference between Al-Wahid and the difference between Al-Ahad. And we said Al-Wahid means not as number one, because Allah created number one. But Al-Wahid as in has no partners. The absolute uniqueness of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Today we move to the other thing that Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala said, which is وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلَهُ. And the translation of that, it means nothing is like him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we go into what means nothing is like him, we must first know some of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And let's go back a little bit in a logical or a chronological order. Of course, if I give you this book right here, this, and I say, here's this book, and this book wrote itself, all of a sudden, these letters, the alphabets, they flew together. And they not only flew together, they lined themselves up on that page in these lines. And not only that, they lined themselves up in a very useful way. And they made useful words. And now they made useful book. Of course, this would be nonsense. This would be, maybe the first one is coincidence. The second one is also coincidence. And is everything coincidence then? So, if I say there is a car outside, I say, go to see that car outside. Say, you appreciate it, very nice car. I say, this car made itself. All of a sudden, the tires came from somewhere. They flew. And then you have the, you have all these, you had a wrench from somewhere coming, from nowhere. Made itself, and then tied these nuts. And then you have the dashboard came, and all of a sudden, all these plastics just came from everywhere, and the seat flew also. They tighten themselves to the car, and then you have the shift and all that stuff. And then the doors came and they locked themselves, they made themselves open, and this is kind of crazy. Therefore, for every creation, there has to be a creator. Just like for every book, there has to be a writer. No book writes itself. There has to be a writer for the book. And that car had a manufacturer, and this creation has a creator. This creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so we distinguish that there is a creator and there is a creation. That's one thing that's very most important. And again, the mind and the intellect necessitates, of course the Quran necessitates to start with, but we talk to those people who don't, for example, some don't believe, they say, I don't want to talk about the Quran. The mind and the intellect necessitates a creator for the creation. Because it's an impossibility intellectually for a creation to be without a creator. Just like it is impossible for a book to be written without a writer. No matter who that writer is, an entity that willed for that book to be written, that entity is the writer of that book, and therefore The one who willed for this creation to be created is the creator of this universe. And we call this this entity or this creator, we call him Allah. Subhanallah. Now, since he is the creator and everything else is creation, the creator then must be attributed with attributes of perfection, with attributes of superiority, with attributes of uniqueness. Why? Well, very simple. Since we do have in existence the creator and the creation, they cannot share these attributes. In other words, if the creator shares the attributes of the creation, or vice versa, if the creation has some of the attributes of the creator, that revokes the uniqueness, the superiority, and the perfection of the creator. Because then the creation has similar, what's the difference? Then why is the creation not creator in that sense? Therefore, those who say, and you'll see that some atheists or even communists, in the old days, I think communists are gone, except in China maybe, in North Korea, and some of the Arab and Muslim countries, they still hold on tight to that. No? Subhanallah. They say, and you'll see that, and also it's an argument on some of the Nasara part, that Allah, they call, who they say, that Father, for example, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not begotten. But can He will for the creation? Can God will for the creation of another God? Since you say, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala kulli shay'in qadir. He is attributed with unlimited powers. He can do whatever He wills, right? Yes, He can. Then why can't He create another God? The reason, because that's a contradiction in terms. God cannot be created. If He is created, then He's not God. Someone else created Him. Then what makes Him God? The one who created Him is His God. That's number one. Number two, because what? The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Creator, is what? The Creator, Al-Khaliq. Al-Khaliq means He's the Creator. That means nobody created Him, because nobody can create the Creator. Otherwise, it would be a contradiction of term. If you create the Creator, that means He's not a Creator. He's a creation. Okay. Number two, Allah is not only Al-Khaliq. He is Al-Awwal. Huwa Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. Wal-Zahir wal-Batin. Al-Awwal means not the first. It doesn't mean the first. It means the eternal with no beginning. Al-Awwal means the eternal with no beginning. And I know some of the translations, maybe of the Quran or so, some of them say that it's translated as the first, which is erroneous. This is an error. Allah cannot be attributed with being the first, because there's nothing before Him. Allah is the eternal, al-azali. Azal means eternal, with no beginning, because He's the creator of beginning. So if we say, if they say, can God create another God? Well, the second God has a beginning, because He just was created. So how can He be God? He's not eternal. He has a beginning. Not only that, هو الأول والآخر. الآخر means everlasting. But it seems like these gods are not everlasting. Some of them die, some of them what happens. So. More than that, we come to Surah Al-Ikhlas. And everybody of you know Surah Al-Ikhlas, right or not? Bismillah, everybody together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٌ. You know what we call this, the ulama, what they call this surah? Surah Al-Tawheed. Not only Surah Al-Ikhlas. That's one of the names. Actually, Surah Al-Ikhlas has many names. Surah Al-Tawheed also. So if you see that some of the scholars in Tafsir, they call the surah Surah Al-Tawheed, don't wonder. Because this is the summary of Tawheed in this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Ahad means, we said that yesterday, what does Ahad mean? Cannot divide. Or the other word, or the other way around. Because it's not a body. A body, you can divide the body. Because it consists of things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body that consists of things. طيب. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Allahu samad. What does a samad mean? Who knows what a samad means? Not from those who appeared in the first course, from the new ones. This is the most recited ayah probably in the entire Islamic world. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ surah. As-samad means two things. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. As-samad means al-mustaghni an kulli ma siwah al-muftaqiru ilayhi kullu ma adah, which means the one who is not in need of anything else and the one who everything else is in need of him. As-samad. Again, you say that every time, don't you? So yeah, now you have to know what the samad means, so you can interact with it. As-samad means the one who is not in need of anything, but yet everything is in need of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does he need the creation? He doesn't need any. But does the creation need him? The creation exists because of his will. Because of his will for you to exist, you exist. You hear not because you have ears. You hear because he willed for you to hear. Therefore, he created for you an ear so you can hear by his will. Not by the ear. The ear doesn't make you hear anything. Huh? The ear doesn't make you hear anything. But Allah makes you hear. Once you depend on your ear to hear, then you are depending on the creation. And one should always depend on the Creator. Summun bukmun umyun fahum la yaqil. They hear. Al-Quran says this, and this is very, it's a contract, and I would like you to read the Quran, and read the Quran again interactively. Interact with the Quran. Al-Quran says, lahum أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they don't see. They actually see, but they're not seeing. And they have ears, the Quran says. But they don't hear. They actually hear. They hear what you tell them, but they're not hearing the truth. Therefore, they're blind. And therefore, they're deaf. Now, the concept of, so we'll talk about that some other time. Inshallah, we don't want to spend too much time here because it's Tawheed. Now, Allahu Samad, everybody must, you must, please memorize this because I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to say, like, stand up, tell me what Allahu Samad mean. The one who is not in need of anything, yet everything is in need of him. Allahu Samad. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Nothing is like him. Has no partners. Absolute uniqueness and superiority and perfection. Allahu Samad. Everything is in need of him. Lam yalid. Walam yulad. Why? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said lam yalid walam yulad? He does not, he cannot have offspring, he cannot, not begotten, not begotten. Why? Why? Because who, what, these situations appear on who? Your creation. Your mother delivers. Your sister delivers, female delivers, animals deliver, birds deliver, plants, they have offspring. Huh? Even non-living things, they explode and they form new things, right? You know, how do galaxies, the birth of galaxies? Don't think just that birth is just only through living things, or what we call living things. Really, everything is living. These sands, this thing that you're standing on right now, that you think is silent, if you think this is silent, you're fooling yourself. Because this is not silent. This consists of atoms. And you have explosive movement within these atoms. Violent movement. The sand that you're on, you think this is... Just dig a little bit deep in earth. You think you go now, it's very cold. And you see this snow. And you see lakes. And oh, beautiful. And birds singing. All you have to do is just go and dig in earth below the crust of earth. And you know what the heart of earth is? This that we live on and we walk on in Sopis, supposedly. Magma, boiling mass, waiting to just explode. Tens of thousands of degrees in the center of this earth, right there. Which is the most of the earth. Think about this. You're walking on a boiling mass. Therefore, sometimes you have a little crack in earth, just a little bit. What do you have? Volcanoes. That ruin everything. It's just a matter of when that button is pushed, when Allah wills for this earth to be destroyed. It's a matter of seconds. If you have this little window that appears to earth and it ruins everything around it, what happens if all these things all of a sudden erupt everywhere? Huh?
إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره.
إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها. What happened? Insan is going to go, all of a sudden things happen. Huh? Earth, eruption, earthquakes. Think, because that's it. And Allah says, وَأَخْرَجَتْ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. It means earth revealed what it has hidden inside. Boiling. And then Allah says, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَلَى. What's going on? People turn on the TV. And then BBC will come and says, يَوْمَئِذًا تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. That means the news will come and tell you. BBC say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Rabbaka awhalaha. Allah gave it to Wahi. It's over. Yawma idhan tuhadithu akhbaraha. What is the news? Akhbar. Akhbar means news. What is the akhbar? Bi anna Rabbaka awhalaha. It is the order of Allah now. This is it. You cannot contain that anymore. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ. Now we'll see who is ever doing good or who's ever doing bad. Now let's go. Because the actual process of giving birth and offspring and continuity is for the creation. And therefore the creator cannot be attributed with that. Because he's the creator. Because if you need to be continuous, that means what? That means you are undergoing a process of death and change. If you are the creator and attributed with the attributes of perfection, then why should you need anything else to be continuous? You should be continuous by yourself. Therefore, continuity and the process of offspring and all that stuff, that is of the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with that. لَمْ يَلَدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. صَلُّوا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. This is essential. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. It means nothing. Nothing is similar to him. Nothing is like him. This is what it means. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Okay. Why is Islam stressed on this? There's another ayah yesterday we talked about in Surah Ash-Shura. ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير, which means nothing is like him, and he is attributed with hearing and sight. Another ayah, it says, هل تعلم له سميا? Do you know anything similar to him? Then why is the Quran, and then the Quran say, سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. سبحان ربك رب العزة. سبحان الله عما يشركون. سبحان ربك عما يصفون. Why? What did we say تسبيح means? Two things. What does تسبيح mean? When he says سبحان الله العظيم, what does it mean? Those who were yesterday. That you attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the attributes of perfection, and you clear him from non-befitting attributes. You memorized it or not yet? Because this is not so you can listen, this is so you can learn. Tasbih or Subhan means, O Allah, I attribute you. When you say Subhan Allah al-Azim, or Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, you're saying, O Allah, I attribute you. I attribute you with the attributes of perfection because they are due to you. And you are cleared from non-suitable attributes, from non-befitting attributes. That's what the meaning of it is. Attribute him with the attributes of perfection and clearing him from attributes of non-suitability. What are the attributes that are not suitable to Allah? Yes. The attributes of the creation. The attributes of the creation are by definition attributes that are not suitable to Allah, not befitting. Because that's making the creator like the creation. And the creator is not like the creation, because the Quran stresses that all the time. Therefore, those who say the creator is like the creation, belying the Quran. Therefore, the creator must be attributed with these attributes. And if the creation, any of the creation, shares any of these attributes in any way, shape, form, or fashion, that again, I said, revokes the uniqueness, the superiority, and the perfection that is supposed to be to the Creator. Because then other entities share that with Him. Okay. Now we're going to go over some of the attributes, and the attributes of Allah Jalla wa ala are a lot of them. There's lots of them. But we're going to talk about a few of them that I would like every one of you to memorize at least. Not necessarily academically be able to regurgitate it, but at least to know that. Number one, Al-Wujud. Al-Wujud means that He subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Sayyidina Ibrahim, fi Surah Ibrahim, the ayah says, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٍّ. Is there a doubt in the existence of Allah? فَاطِرِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the one who created earth and heaven. Is there a doubt? Can you have a creation without a creator? No. Can you have a book without a writer? No. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. The creator exists. There's existence. Of course it exists. Because it's impossible intellectually and Islamically to have a creation without a creator. One. So al-wujud. Wujud means, Ya Sheikh Ali, it means what? He exists. Subhanahu. Existence. But let me say this. Now you say, wait a minute. You're just telling us that Islam is to distinguish the creator from the creation. Right? And the creator is not like the creation. That's true. But then someone says, well, I exist and Allah exists. So we both are attributed with existence. That's true. Then how come? Remember that German philosopher Nietzsche says, I think, therefore I am? Some people don't think. But my existence is much different as a creation than the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? My existence is there because, number one, Allah willed for me to exist. The Creator willed for the creation to exist, number one. Number two, we all exist because of circumstances. and conditions that are available. For example, the amount of oxygen in the air is 20 point something, 20.7, right? Who are the chemists here? Any chemists? 20 point something, 21 oxygen in the air. If the oxygen is 15 or 10, can we survive? Probably not. Therefore, when you go to mountains, if you go to high mountains to ski, then what happens is they say there's the concentration of oxygen is a little bit low. Then what happens to people? They start hyperventilating. Al-Quran mentions this, by the way. Go to the Quran. The Quran mentions these things. The higher you go, the less oxygen there is. Go to the Quran and see it. كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And then the higher you go, the less concentrated of oxygen, you can't live. It's not compatible with life. So you live because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for that oxygen, you have that concentration of oxygen, that's there. Number two, you live because Allah created the sun and moon and the system for you. You see? Let me tell you this, if the moon, you see that moon? You go outside, is there a moon today? Inshallah, there is a moon. If that moon, Al-Qamar, right? Al-Qamar, in Arabic, moon Al-Qamar. If that moon, that beautiful moon, decides to love you, and come a little bit closer to you, to earth, guess what will happen on earth? Tidal waves, just a little bit, maybe a couple of miles come. I say, I like people on earth, I'm going to come closer to them. So this moon comes closer to you a little bit, and then you have tidal waves of hundreds, maybe miles, up that come and destroy everything. Violent water comes. Tide, that tide changes, everything changes, destroys everything. Just a couple of miles change. That's the moon. That's insignificant compared with the sun. Let's say the sun comes closer a little bit, or goes a little bit farther. If it comes closer a little bit, everything will burn, including there will be no life. If it decides to go a little bit backwards, puts on that reverse, then I'm just going to back up a little bit, find a better parking spot. And what happens? We'll freeze to death. There will be no life. So we exist because, number one, Allah willed for us to exist. Number two, Allah created for us reasons that make us exist. And we are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for us to exist, and His will for all these circumstances to keep going so we can exist. Once any of these things cease to exist, we will cease to exist. So my existence is not dependent on anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My existence is not wajib al-wujud. In other words, my existence is not an obligatory thing. I can exist or not exist, what happens, doesn't matter. Because nothing is dependent on me. I am dependent on everything else. Now, Allah's existence is there. Allah exists because it's His attributes. He's the creator and He is not dependent on anything. Because He exists, He exists because He simply exists, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, this is As-Samad. Nothing, He is in need of nothing, and everything is in need of Him. The difference in the existence between, so you don't say, I exist and Allah exists. Yes, Allah exists because of Himself. And you exist because of Allah. Al-Wujud, which means existence. You're right, that's number one. يَجِبُ لِلَّهِ الْوُجُودِ وَالْقِدَمِ. Al-Qidam means being eternal. Al-Azal. Azal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Azali. Azali means He is eternal without a beginning. Eternal without a beginning. Because when you say first, first entails that there is a beginning. You see? First, there is a beginning. But when you say eternal without a beginning, that means there is no beginning. Why? Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala existed in eternity without a beginning, when there is no beginning. There was no time. Time is a creation of Allah. Here is the hadith by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. Through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ. The hadith is very beautiful, very simple, and very meaningful. And it sets the stage for the beginning of everything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says, Allah existed and nothing else existed. كان الله Allah existed وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ And nothing else existed. What do I mean by nothing? Everything except Allah. Nothing. No time, no place, no heavens, no earth, no galaxies, no seventh heaven, no Jannah, no Nar, no earth. Absolutely nothing. Nothing existed. No space. This space that you see now, you say, between this, the ceiling and the ground, this is a space. And space is a creation of Allah. Don't think that this is nothing. This is nothing is something. Here, huh? This nothing, this here, the space, this is air. Maybe you can't see it, but this is air. It's got chemical components. This is a creation of Allah. This did not exist. Only Allah existed. كان الله ولم يكن شيء غيره. Allah existed and nothing else existed. Therefore, Al-Quran comes immediately in a very solid supporting ayah. هو الأول والآخر. He is the eternal without a beginning and the everlasting without an end. So we cut the discussion because there's a space is a creation. Nothing is a creation. Allah created nothing. This nothing that we say nothing, really it's not. Nothing is a misconception because when we say this is nothing, it's really not nothing. It is something. Do you follow? This is chemicals and airs, huh? NH3 and O2 and all these things are all existent right there in the air. So it is something. And this didn't exist, Allah only existed. This is very important because you have to understand the eternity without a beginning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هو الأول, which means He is the eternal, الأزلية. الوجود is the first one, right? Second is what? Eternal without a beginning. الأزلي. Or الأول. طيب. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. يجب لله الوجود والقدم كذا البقاء. We say هو الأول والآخر. آخر means what? آخر means He is everlasting without an end. Everlasting without an end. Why? Because if He has an end, He's not the Creator. He cannot be God. Anything that has an end cannot be God. Anything that has a beginning cannot be God. Because who, then if it has a beginning, who initiated it? Who put it into the existence? Huh? طيب. Everlasting without an end, it's also the name Al-Baqi. You see some people name Abd Al-Baqi? That is everlasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هو الآخر. And also Al-Baqi. Also the name Ad-Da'im. Ad-Da'im. Everlasting. Also Al-Qayyum. You read that in Surah Al-Kursi, in Ayat Al-Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Then what does Al-Qayyum mean? Al-Hay means what? Attributed with Haya. Haya means life. He's living. He's attributed with life. Al-Qayyum means that He doesn't perish. He is everlasting without an end. طيب. Someone might say, well, there is a similarity here. What's the similarity? Similarity is that some of the creation are everlasting. So we're going to be living, huh? خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. خَلِدِينَ فِيهَا means we're going to ever be lasting, everlasting in either Jannah or Nar. Jannah is a creation. Also Jannah is going to be everlasting. Nar is all a creation. Nar is going to be everlasting. And you're telling us Allah is everlasting. How is that? Again, we go to the very first thing. We said, these things are everlasting because of His will for them to be everlasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everlasting because of Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is everlasting as such. Therefore, the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, many of them, we believe that Al-Jannah wa Nar are already created. They exist now. There is now Jannah and there is Nar. Right now. But they will perish. Allah will destroy them, will will for their destruction when before the Day of Judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. And Allah said, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. Everything will change, everything will be destructed, and nothing will be there except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He says, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To who belongs the dominion today? The ayah in the Quran basically means, to whom belongs the dominion today? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, when everything is destructed. And nobody will say anything. And Allah says to Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. To Allah, the one who has nothing is similar to Him, no partners, the one who is attributed with glory. And then Allah wills for the recreation of Jannah and Nar again. So again, these things, when we say everlasting, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everlasting because of Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we said now three things. Number one, al-wujud. Al-wujud means existence. Number two, we said al-awwal or al-azali. Al-azali, which means the eternal without a beginning. Number three, we said al-abadi. Abadi. Abadi means the everlasting without an end. يجب لله الوجود والقدم كذا البقاء والغنى. الله الغني. الغني. You say somebody is غني. Uthman رضي الله عنه, they used to say Uthman الغني. Right? Sayyidina Uthman. Sayyidina Uthman was among the very wealthiest Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. صلوا على رسول الله وآله. Among Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was also a rich, very wealthy Sahabi radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Allah al-Ghani, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich. When we say al-Ghani, really doesn't mean rich. Ghani doesn't mean rich. But when you say about a human being ghani, it means rich. Allah ghani, it means just like a samad, that He is not in need of anything, and everything is in need of Him. Everything is poor for Him. Because if He wills for anything, He say, He all have to do is will for it. Kun fayakun. Be and it shall be. But al-ghani, it means He is not in need of anything. He is not dependent on anything. People are always dependent on what? Al-ghina, which means being wealthy. It could be being wealthy in your health. Your health is okay, so that's wealth. Health is wealth. Huh? Health is wealth. You know the size of a kidney is this. Here, this is the size of a kidney, of a human kidney. Maybe a little bit smaller, slightly smaller. This is your kidney, level L2, lumbar number 2, right? Your lumbar vertebra. Now, if something happens to that kidney, this size, you can go to the best hospitals in the world and get all the budgets of all the countries in the world, all the countries in the world, to make a kidney just like this. Right now, in this advanced stage, no one can. An ongoing challenge. Can you? All the doctors, bring everybody. And all the money. Everything that every, all the capabilities entire humanity can. Can they create another kidney? They have the dialysis machine. You know how big the dialysis machine is? Half of this room. And it doesn't do nearly one quarter of the job the kidney does. And not only that, it is conducive for infections. Anybody who's on dialysis, if you know, then they have infections and they have to give him anticoagulant and they have to give him so many things to keep him alive, because you cannot do this. This kidney that is one half of bar of soap, you still can't duplicate it with all your money and all your power. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything, and all of us are in need of Him. Everything is. That's the meaning of Al-Ghani. Really, you'll see throughout Tawheed that the names of Allah, the attributes, the names of perfection overlap. And the reason is because, number one, we don't know the true, full meaning of these attributes, because we cannot capacitate them. So it's almost as much as we know. This is as far as we can go. We don't know any more than that. Tayyib. So Al-Ghani. So now we have how many? Ya Abu Layth, how many we have? No, more than three. Al-Wujud. And then what else? Existence. And then? The Eternal. And after the Eternal, Everlasting. And ever-everlasting, what do we have? Al-Ghina, Al-Ghani. That he is not in need of anything. And then we go to another one. Al-Mukhalafatu lil-Hawadith. Al-Mukhalafa lil-Hawadith, it means that he is not similar to the creation. He is not similar to anything. Why? I just said that. If he is similar in anything to any of the creation, let's say, hypothetically speaking, contrary to the truth, and it's absolutely wrong, but just for argument's sake, if he was similar to the creation in hearing, then that is a sharing of these attributes. That revokes the attribute of superiority, uniqueness, and perfection from him, because the creation shares that same attribute with him. Which is also an impossibility. Why? Because Allah, who is the creator, cannot be created. Otherwise, it's a contradiction in terms. Since he cannot be created, because he is the creator, his attributes are not created. You see that? It's very important. Allah is the creator. Cannot be created. Creator cannot. That's not impossible. And his attributes are also non-created. Non-created. While my attributes and everybody's attributes are created attributes. Therefore, there is absolutely no similarity. One attribute is created, one attribute is uncreated. And then number six or number seven, where were we now? Six is, now we said he's not created, non-created, not subject to change. لا يتغير. Not subject to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of his attributes of perfection are not subject to change. They do not change. They are not subject to change. Eternally, everlastingly. Never, ever. Whose attributes change are mine and yours. And the attributes of the creation, they are subject to change. But Allah's attributes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to change. Why? Sallu ala Rasulullah. We are learning now. Did you, every one of you, made intentions that you are seeking knowledge, so Allah gives you double the reward? Inshallah, if you didn't make that intention right now, that you came here to seek knowledge. Because the hadith by Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever goes, strives and struggles, seeking a route or seeking a way to acquire knowledge, Allah gives him a way to paradise with that. So you can get away to have the way to paradise. You're coming here like you're coming to paradise, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that. So make that intention. Not only that you're coming to the masjid, you're coming to seek knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, facilitates a way to paradise for you, like He facilitated a way for you to come to knowledge. But you're learning. Maybe that indicates that you, not your knowledge is increasing. Your knowledge changes. As a human being, every day you learn new things. If your knowledge was perfect, it wouldn't need to learn. It knows everything already. I know everything. I don't need to learn. Some people think that way too, huh? I know everything. Don't need to learn. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, Hujjat al-Islam al-Ghazali, rahmatullah ala ruhi al-tahira, said, people are of four kinds. You have four kinds of men. People who know, and know that they know. Some people know, have the knowledge. And they know that they have the knowledge. They know that they know. He said, this man is a scholar, go ask him and learn from him. A man who knows, and knows that he knows. And the second kind is a man that knows, and he doesn't know that he knows. He is ghafil. He is asleep. Wake him. Wake him up. Give him a wake-up call. The third kind is a man who does not know, and he knows that he does not know. He is jahil. Teach him. It's okay. I mean, you have to learn. He doesn't know, and he knows that he doesn't know. The fourth kind is a man who doesn't know, and doesn't know that he doesn't know. You don't know, and he thinks he knows. He doesn't know, and he doesn't know that he doesn't know. هذا, Imam Ghazali says, he's a mukabir. Mukabir, he's arrogant. So avoid him. Since we learn, that means our attribute of knowledge is not perfect. It's subject to change. And therefore, our attribute of knowledge is created. Our hearing. You know, when you grow up, the elder you get, then the hearing decreases. If your hearing was perfect, it wouldn't decrease. You wouldn't need hearing aid. Your eyes, your vision. The older you get, your eyes need sunglasses, corrective lenses. If your eyes were perfect, then you wouldn't need. If your vision was perfect, you wouldn't need that. Therefore, our attributes are subject to change. We live and we die. That's a change of status. You are a child, then you grow up. That's a change of status. You were at your home, then you came to the masjid. That's a change of status. Everything you do is a change. You are subject to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes are not subject to change. Because if they change, if any of His attributes change, that means one of two things. Either the attribute was not perfect at the time and now it became perfect, which is impossible, because how come He was God then? God, the Creator, must be attributed with the attributes of perfection. Therefore, it's an impossibility that to the Creator. Therefore, the Creator is attributed with the attributes of perfection that are not subject to change. Allah doesn't acquire knowledge tomorrow about what's going to happen. Allah, in His eternal knowledge, knows what will happen. Therefore, the hadith narrated via Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu wa ardahu karama wajha, what is his servant's name? Ali ibn Abi Talib's servants. What's his name? Qanbar. His servant. Qanbar comes to him, knocks his door, said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Outside at the door, there are 40. How many minutes do I have? One more minute? Inshallah. There are 40 Yahuds outside of the door. Sayyidina Ali said, what do they want? Qanbar said, Ya Amir al-Mu'min, they want to ask you a question. He said, let them in. I'll tell you this after the break. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I'm getting hard looks, huh? No, I'm just kidding. رضي الله عنه وارضاه. Qanbar knocks the door, says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, there are 40 Yahud outside. And he said, what do they want? Qanbar said, they want to ask you a question and they don't want to ask anybody but you. He said, let them in. So they came in. They said, Ya Ali, tell us about your Lord that you worship. You worship somebody. Huh? Who do you worship? He said to them, Kan wala makan. He existed when no place existed, when no place was created. He existed in eternity when no place was created, nothing was created. وَهُوَ الْآن عَلَى مَا عَلَيْهِ كَان. And he exists now as he existed in eternity. لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ عَمَّا عَلَيْهِ كَان. He does not change. He is not subject to change. عَلِمَ مَا كَان. He knows what happened. وَعَلِمَ مَا يَكُون. And he knows what will happen. وَعَلِمَ مَا لَا يَكُون. And he knows what will not happen. إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُون. If it had happened, how would it have happened? He knows what happened. And he knows what will happen. And he knows what does not happen. If it had happened, how would it have happened? They say, this man, we cannot talk to him. Ali ibn Abi Talib. Therefore, Al-Qayyum is the one that entails that he is not subject to change. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Al-Qayyum, that he is everlastingly without a change. Why? Look at the ayah right after that. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. What happens after this? La. Don't think. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Don't think he needs to sleep. Or he needs to rest. Why? Because rest and sleep is a change of status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to change. Why? Because he is qayyum. Everlastingly, not subject to change. So I want you to at least memorize these things. Number one, Allah and His attributes are eternal. Two, they are everlasting. Three, they are not created. Four, they are not subject to change. Five, they are not similar to the creation. At least you have to know these things. Number one, eternal, with no beginning. Eternal, with no beginning. Then someone tells you, what's the dalil? هو الأول. قال الله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الأول. Is the eternal. Eternal with no beginning. Number two, second sifa. He is everlasting without an end. Number three, he is what? Not created, nor are his attributes. All of this thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes. Why? Because Allah is the creator, cannot be created. And his attributes are the attributes of the creator, therefore they cannot be created. Because can someone create the attributes of the creator? Allah's attributes are not created. Number four, he is qayyum, not subject to change. And his attributes are not subject to change. Number five, that he is not similar to the creation. Five things. And nor are his attributes. So everyone has to know these things. You know them. Number one, what are they? Ya Sheikh Ali, the first one. Eternal with no beginning. In Arabic, we call it Al-Azali. Aw Al-Awwal. Okay, next. What's the second attribute we want to know? Other than Sheikh Ali. Everlasting without an end. Tayyib, then. Not created, because he's the creator. Number four. not subject to change because He's Qayyum. Number five. Nothing is similar to Him because what? Who Allah? Allah. Because He's Allah, He's the Creator. Nothing can be similar to Him. Because there's only one Creator. طيب. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. طيب. Then Imam al-Tahawi said, وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. It means nothing can overwhelm Him. He's the Creator. Can someone, anything can overwhelm the Creator? That means it's got more power than the Creator, which is an impossibility. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with Qudra. Qudra. And Qudra means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent. Or He's attributed with the attribute of power, that is also because the attribute of power is attribute of Allah. Therefore Allah and His attributes are what? Number one, they are eternal. Number two, they are everlasting. Number three, they are not created. Number four, they are not subject to change. Number five, they are not similar to the creation. Okay. طيب. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. This is another important thing here. We'll spend some time on it. Imam Tahawi said, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. It means there is no other creator, there is no other Lord, there is no other God but Him. Number one, في القرآن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala في القرآن states this very clearly, saying, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No, the translation of the ayah. No, therefore, that there is no God but Allah. Allah says also for the Quran, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ. So there's only one Allah, there's no other God but Him. الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَا. If there is, Allah says in the Quran, which means, if there is any other God other than Allah, we would have been spoiled. It couldn't have been right. It would be invalid. Invalid. لَفَسَدَتَا means it's invalid. It cannot be more than other God, other Lord. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself says, glory to me that I'm attributed with the attributes of perfection and clear of non-suitable attributes, not befitting attributes. Allah also said in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهِ. Which means with Him, there is no other Lord. There is no other Creator with Him. Allah states that in the Quran very clearly. And then He said, لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَاهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Which means, if there was more than one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the minds. If there is more than one, then everyone would do something else. And one would be more superior than the other. Which is an impossibility. Subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, right away after this, Subhanallah amma yasifun. Allah is clear from what they attribute Him with. طيب. Logic and intellect necessitates that there's only one God, one Creator. There cannot be two. One. Let's say, if they say, contrary to the truth, and if we assume that there are two, like they say there are two, what would that What would be wrong with that? Two gods, two creators. Either if they decree something, either both of their wills will be executed, or none of their wills will be executed, or one will be executed and the other won't. Again, don't worry about them. Worry about what this is going to say. If they say there are two gods or more, let's say take at least two, because it applies to more by definition. But if some say there are two gods, if they both will for something, either both of their wills will be executed, or, there are only three ways, or none of their wills will be executed, or one will be executed and the other won't. What if they will both for exactly opposite things? One wills to move this microphone and the other doesn't. Either both wills will be executed, which is impossible. That means moving the microphone, not moving the microphone. Impossible. Or none of their wills will be executed. That means they're both not gods. Because God is supposed to be attributed with power, qudra. That means His will is executed. So if their wills both are not executed, that means both of them are not God. Or the third option then, one will be executed and the other won't. And then that means one of them is actually God and the other one is not God. Why? Because His will did not get executed. And therefore He is incapable. He's incapacitated. And that cannot be God. God must be capable and capacitated of doing everything. Therefore, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That's one. طيب. Now, if they say there are two gods or more, then they must be, if there are two gods, God is attributed by definition with the attributes of perfection. Then if they say two gods, that means these two entities must both be attributed with the attributes of perfection. Right? You with me or not? Are we sleeping still? Okay. If they are attributed, both of them, with the attributes of perfection, but wait a minute. God must be distinguished from the creation, from other entities. Then how can they be distinguished from each other? If they're both similar, because they both have attributes of perfection, how can they be distinguished from each other? Then one must be bigger or better or more powerful than the other. Therefore, one of them is God and the other is not. Because Allah must be attributed with God must be attributed with the attributes of uniqueness, absolute uniqueness, absolute oneness. Therefore, it's impossible. It's an impossibility. Therefore, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. طيب. More than that, if we say, or if they say, we don't say that, if they say, there are two gods, then here's the question. The summation of their, everyone is attributed, of course, with absolute power. Then the summation of their powers, is it more than the power of one of them? Or is it the same?